This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning. We are live. It is Thursday, the 2nd of May. Yes, May. Almost halfway through the year.
Oh. The third, 102 days. What's wrong with you? We're a third of the way.
I don't know, Pums, when we get to winter, and I mean, you can't deny winter's here now. When we get to winter, I'm like, oh, okay, we're halfway. So that's how it's going. Sia Sangweni, Pumi Mashiko, Gareth Cliff this morning to keep you company. And if you are one of those hardworking people filling up these 2 days with productivity, good for you. Because we know that there are lots of people who are not.
And also good for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Good for them.
And we're just jealous. I mean, that's why we bring it up. Pure jealousy, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
I mean, who is counting specifically the days we have in the year, Sis Pumi?
There are people.
How do you know that?
Who like to be informed, who like to be on top of the game, mm-hmm. who like to not have things sneak up on
you. Or you could just divide 12 into 3 or 4 and you'll find out you're a quarter or a third way through. I mean, that's really all you have
to do. You know, maths isn't my strong point.
The thing about maths, right, especially when you're like, now it's times 12 and now it's number of days, that kind of stuff can sneak up on you. I saw a tweet the other day. I've actually never laughed so hard at a person. And like, the problem with Twitter as well, South African Twitter is, it's quick, hey?
Yeah, it's immediate.
You miss a day, you miss a lot.
Guy tweeted something about if you smoke a single cigarette.
A
cigarette costs R3. And
actually, had to screenshot it.
Smoke 7 a day or something like that. So he had all of this funny mess.
Yes.
And then at some point, he then figures that it costs you R588. Come on, see.
Yes, this is what he says specifically. He says a cigarette is R3. So if you smoke 7 per day, that means you're spending R21 a day. In a week, that's R147. Are you still with him?
Yes.
Then he says in a month, that's R588. Are we still with him?
Right. Still got you. Yeah.
Then he says in a year, it's 588 multiplied by 365. Which equals to 214,620. That's where I've lost him. And so he's trying to make the point.
That's worth it.
A house in Sandton. So every year you're smoking a house. Good morning, cigarette smokers.
Twitter was properly up, but my favorite response was somebody said, well, clearly you're smoking weed and not cigarettes. Yeah.
If that's the maths you're coming up with.
Well, like, even so. I often think about how much money I've wasted over the years on things like alcohol. I mean, you just think about how many drinks you've bought in your life. I'm not an alcoholic and I don't drink during the week. But I've spent a ton. And even buying other people drinks. If I add all that money up, I probably could have bought a house.
Well, Gareth, probably could have bought a house. I was thinking about you and your house the other day. Because I remember most of us went through the saga of you building.
Oh my God, yeah.
And even yesterday on my workers' day, kind of trying to keep calm and just lie on the couch.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, you know, thank myself for being a worker.
That's what I did most of the day. Don't feel bad. Yeah.
And it dawned on me that we have been had when it comes to this property ownership.
Totally.
Nonsense. Because I'm at that stage of my property ownership. Where the property owns me.
Yes, and you spend most of your time trying to fix it and sort it out, and it tells you what to do.
Oh.
And it costs you, even though you've paid for it, paid for it.
My eyes are now as wide as saucers. Now I'm like, oh no.
And I was thinking about exactly that. I was thinking about how much money I have spent just on the upkeep of the garden and the house and the painting the house. And I was thinking, I could have traveled.
Oh, yeah.
I could have got a townhouse and rented a townhouse.
That's where I'll give credit to the millennials. They've got this right. Because they're not spending money on property. There are very few millennials who are. And look, they may regret it in 10 years from now. I don't know.
I don't know.
But they are spending their money on traveling. Jeez. And they're not buying fixed assets. They're going, well, you know what? It's not what I want.
I mean, it is. And being, as we sit here in the economy of Matamela. Right?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes.
Languishing in the economy of.
Languishing.
I am constantly thinking about, you know, I could be spending this money on something better. like a night out. And when you weigh it up, like you weigh up the night out and the drinks and the all of, or a party and and the fact that you have to like paint the roof.
Are you making me feel better or worse? I'm not
sure. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out too.
I was going to say, you know, in comparison to the smoking thing, I go, well, at least I don't smoke. But then I think about, oh, I've spent a lot on alcohol. And then I go, well, I'm actually spending a lot of my house. I suppose everybody, you choose what you're going to spend that on,
yes.
right?
Yes. Well,
and thank God you got the money to spend on something. And of course, we don't want to. And sometimes you have to find that money.
Yeah,
but you do what you do.
But I really did. I think I've kind of figured it out. I figured out why you're like, there comes this like place where you'd rather not go out.
I want to ask you something really difficult.
Uh-oh.
Really difficult. Who do you think has cost you more? The house or Kanego?
Bona. Gareth.
Kids are...
And this again, the millennials have got that ish right. Like, it's all a costly exercise. And then you get it. You're like, I've been had.
Uh-huh.
I've been had. Uh-huh. I've been bamboozled.
I know. Well, I actually see the other side of it, though. Not to say I'm oblivious to how tough things can be. But I found that being more responsible for my finances makes me have my priorities in check. You know, now, as opposed to 6 months ago, would willy-nilly go, of course, let me go out on Monday, let me go out on a Wednesday, let me go out on a Friday, and I'll go out twice on a Saturday. Yeah. But now I start to sit at home before I make any sort of decision going, is it really worth it?
Yeah.
And now I've even started, shock, horror, gasp, having to write down lists when I go shopping.
Look at you, you're getting old, Sia.
I'd have to, yes, I'd Sia, walk into my grocery store, I'd go, of course I want some Oreos, and I want, you know, three packets of chips. And
now goes in with a list.
Because I'm going, you can't be swiping willy-nilly. At the end of the month, you will.
Oh my God, how much has changed?
See flames.
All right. There are a few things that I've got here message-wise that I did want to get to this morning. First of all, someone sent me something really helpful, and I'm going to try this. Because I think people are getting sick of hearing me complaining about getting sick.
Okay.
Which it doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's annoying. So the first email... And by the way, you can always email us. You can send us an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com, or you can message us to 0797482090 anytime and join the conversation. So this is from Renata. She says, every time I hear you talk about coming down with a cold or flu, I think I have to contact you to share a miracle prevention cure.
Wow.
Raw ginger. She says, I know it's not the most pleasant thing to eat, but being sick sucks more as far as I'm concerned. And you do get used to the strong taste. Whenever I notice the first sign of a tickle in my throat or a stuffy nose, or if my colleagues look like they might be carriers of the plague, I immediately buy a big piece of ginger and I eat a 2-centimeter chunk 4 or 5 times during the course of the day. By the next day, all the symptoms have disappeared.
Wow.
I have not been sick in over 6 years, she says. I haven't even had a mild cold.
What?
Before I started this, I used to get sick every winter. I'd lose my voice. My entire body would ache. Even after my temperature came down, I'd be stuck with an annoying cough and a blocked nose for at least 3 weeks. Give it a try.
6 years is a good
innings.
That's
amazing, right?
Okay.
I think that's worth listening to.
It's a good innings.
I mean,
6 years.
I'm always a little bit nervous about these housewives' cures and things.
Dude, but I have heard the ginger honey.
Well, I mean, she's saying just
ginger honey hot water. I've heard that. I've also heard the ginger honey garlic.
I'm in no position to say anything. I've got a cold.
I'm always open to it. I'll try it, even though I try these things and they don't exactly work for me. I had to have a hot toddy the other day. I thought,
you enjoyed that.
I really didn't.
It sounds so bad.
Hot toddy. All right. Okay, if she hasn't been sick for over 6 years.
Actually,
okay.
Renata, thank you. I mean, mostly I would be rude about these kinds of ideas, but I like this. So thank
you. I need, again, around the specifics, right? Mm. I need somebody to say to me, like, 3 slices of ginger.
Well, she just said 2 centimeters.
She's saying 2 centimeters.
2 centimeters of ginger. Okay.
All right, so here's Sakile. Sakile Ndlovu says, I'll try to keep this short and sweet. Congratulations and happy 5 years. The podcast has added so much value to my life. I've listened to you guys since I was 17, and I've pegged you as my radio hubby for years. It's been an amazing journey watching you guys grow and evolve. Here's to more success and self-actualization. So, I mean, this is really like Sakile's been there the long road with us, okay? Thank you to the team. I used to have favorites, but now I appreciate everyone's contributions and quirks. You can tell when there's one person missing, there's a big void. The dynamic is different. So thank you to Sia, Leanne, to Ben, Sispumi, and even Gord when he decides to show up. You guys are the best and certainly keep my finger on the pulse of everything.
Aww.
Isn't that nice? I echo the sentiments of one of the emails from a guy in California. I'm in Connecticut, and the best feeling is waking up in the morning. My podcast's already downloaded and good to go. I listen to you guys every morning on the way to work, so the water cooler never sees me coming. I can call in live. I can't call in live because of the time difference, which is something I've always wanted to do. Maybe one day after a drunk night, I'll call. Anyway, congratulations on 5 years. Love and support and appreciate you. Keep chugging on the peace and love, peace and love. Warmest regards, Sakile. And P.S. Garrett, disregard Elson. He can fast forward when you talk about Trump. Some of my friends here in Connecticut have started listening for your politics and your take on what's going on. It's entertaining how different your views are. Sometimes it sounds like you love him and then you turn on him really quickly. My friends don't get it. I love it, though. It keeps me informed on what's going on in the country, so thank you. Oh, well, there we go. Isn't that nice from Sakile?
Thank you, Sakile. And he referred to you as his pumi.
I know.
See, it's a she. This is a she, Sakile. Do you see what you've started?
So thank you. Wow. I mean, we got so many lovely messages and emails and tweets and all kinds of really cool things for our birthday yesterday, and I don't want to make too much of a fuss. I'm more excited about what's coming. But yeah, it's an amazing milestone. And 5 years, again, wouldn't be possible without the brilliant people who started listening to us right at the start and who've been a part of this family for the last 5 years. So thank you. And I mean, you were there at the start, Pums.
I tried to get Kanego to wear my cap because I've got lots of Cliff Central merch.
You do?
I got the merch. I tried to get him to wear the cap this morning. He just like side-eyed me. Yeah. It happens. But well, he should have the cap. Look at that hair. He should have a cap.
I like the hair. I like it's a little bit crazy. I like it. It's good. He looks unpredictable. That's a good thing. All right. So there are lots of things going on in the news that we can get to later on. But you know, everybody was piling on with Mr. South Africa this week, including us. Because there was that picture of the finalists in Mr. South Africa that was put out that looked like a Crime Stop mug. You know, mugshot compendium. And it was really bad. I mean, no one on that thing looked like they should be entering prison, let alone Mr. South Africa. Am I right, Pumi? Come on. Don't make me the only bad guy here. What do you think of it? You've seen it. You couldn't miss it. It was all over.
It was everywhere. It was absolutely trending. It was horrendous. It really was. But my favorite thing about it all is the backlash, right? I'm looking at when I looked at all of the backlash, I mean, there were people taking the piss, of course, but there were also so many guys so touched, people feeling so harassed, people feeling, and I just disgusted at the way that they have been, well, it was objectified.
Oh, wow.
So
that photo of the top 20, as Pumi says, sent everybody on Twitter into a frenzy. People were responding in a pretty negative way. The comments forced the organization to eventually delete the photo. But there's so many available. You can find it anywhere on the internet. The point is you can delete stuff now, but it doesn't go away. Following the CEO of Mr. South Africa, a guy called JP Roberts, spoke out and said, "Everybody has this perception that you need to be this muscle boy, cover model, or good-looking guy to enter the competition. No disrespect to anybody who fits that profile. At the end of the day, I feel like a lot of people don't see the amount of work, dedication, and countless hours that the guys put into this competition. This is one of the things that I've tried to change. And that is why my perspective on the competition is you don't necessarily need to be a male model to be a model male." Yeah, all right.
But and the thing for me was like, this is what women's lives are about. They're like completely judged and objectified. I was just like, guys, just, you know, man up. This is just how
we do. So we decided to bring in a friend to Cliff Central, and he's actually one of the Mr. South Africa top. I didn't even see you on there, Sunil, but here we go.
I know. I looked a bit like it was a bit of a prisoner shot.
I honestly didn't. I couldn't recognize anybody there, and I thought, well, maybe I'll know one or two of the people here. I've seen them in media somewhere. Nothing. Zero. And then I realized, like Sia said to me, you're on there. So first of all, You're in the top 20, so yes. Congratulations for that.
Thank you very much.
Now,
thank you.
Did you see all this furore last week? Were you pulled into it?
I was pulled into it just slightly, and when it first started, I thought, wow, we've got some creative people in this country with all the memes and things. And then it became
mean.
It became mean.
Went from meme to mean.
Mean, exactly. And then I started noticing some what I could call cyberbullying starting. And then it just sort of spiraled. And initially I was laughing the entire morning because I was like, these people are so creative. I mean, there's one person who took a screenshot of me, of my face, and said, now you can, if you win this, you can stop selling chicken tikka in Gatesville in Cape Town. So I'm trying not to respond. I'm trying not to respond to these things.
No.
All right. So Sunil,
but I did.
You did not respond to a single one.
I responded to one of, and I said to this one person, "You offering me tikka, but no naan bread. What kind of person are you?"
Exactly. So Sunil Osman is a Mr. South African contestant, but we've had him on Cliff Central before. He used to be one of the co-hosts on Inspired Youth, and he's been working in the entertainment industry for a number of years. He's an actor, he does presenting, he does MC work, he does speaking and coaching, and you are from Cape Town.
Yes, I'm from Cape Town, yes.
That's the background. All right, so these pictures are disgusting, and obviously they do you no favors by putting this out. I thought Mr. South Africa was like a beauty pageant for guys, but obviously I was wrong.
I think what's happened is that, I can't comment too much on Mr. South Africa from back in the day, but what's happened with the new Mr. South Africa is that there's a lot of rebranding happened.
Well, they should have told us.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, at the same time, from the very beginning, I mean, even for someone like me, if it was a male model perspective, I'm not exactly 6'9" tall, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have the six pack, but I am a South African man. I'm a natural South African man.
Yeah, but we don't want to see people who look like us entering these things. Otherwise, we might as well vote for ourselves.
Then it looks like it's attainable.
Yeah, come on, Sunil.
But weren't you messaged by the CEO to enter?
Yes, what actually happened?
What?
Yeah.
You know, he's begging for entry.
So here it comes. Here it comes. Yep. It can open your mouth wider than that. So what happened is a friend of mine asked me, she nominated me, and then I responded saying, is this a joke? Like, is there a body hair and height? Isn't there a body hair and height requirement? Because I had this ideal
body hair and height.
Indian problems. So then I actually asked that question: is there a body hair and height requirement? Then he responded via direct message to me saying that is not what the new Mr. South Africa is about, we think you should submit.
Okay, well maybe he doesn't get it because I mean, like you're not a bad looking guy, but you look like a regular dude. You look like me, or you know, I'm not going to be on the cover of Men's Health anytime soon. And there's a good reason for that. People will not buy the magazine if I'm on the cover of it. The fact is, like, aren't these competitions meant to? Like, if you enter Miss South Africa and you're fat and you have a moustache and your hair is greasy and you have bad skin and all that kind of thing, you're not going to win Miss South Africa. You're not going to be able to make it into the finals. That's because Miss South Africa is clearly a beauty pageant. And I know these guys come along and they've tried to
World peace.
World peace.
But I mean, they've tried to, it never used to be. It used to just be the swimsuit competition, frankly. Then it became about all this, how much good you do in society. It's not a philanthropy competition. Yeah.
No, I totally agree with
who
that.
Who wants to watch statement? That? Who on earth flicks through the channels or goes onto the internet and goes, let's see who the biggest philanthropists in South Africa. No one cares. Imagine having a Mr. or Miss Social Worker competition. No one cares, right?
Well, you know, one of the things. Look, they ask.
He doesn't know what to say, Gareth.
What I am going to say is that there are certain standards which the new Mr. South Africa have to still uphold. So, they, for example, in November we had a 30-day challenge, which defined a lot of that when it comes to responsibility, healthy living, or if you were a female in the Mr. South Africa competition, you wouldn't have a moustache because there are certain things that you need to still uphold when it comes to the image of a Mr. South Africa.
Why is moustache bad?
Well, you know, if you can grow a moustache, it'll be a start. But but there are certain things that JP has set in place that has sort of defined the top 20 finalists. So everybody's got their own thing they are bringing to the finals.
Okay.
So they weren't just the 20 of us from the beginning. Obviously, there were hundreds of applications.
There were hundreds.
And then there were top 50. And then now the 20 finalists.
How long has this been going on? I mean, we all just heard about it
when the picture
a week
out,
ago.
When the mugshots came out.
Yeah.
But you were like doing 30-day challenges in November?
Yes.
How long has this been going on?
This has been going on for just under a year, just under a year. So I think normally, yeah. So there's a yearly cycle. So we've been busy doing various challenges and doing different work and things for over a year.
Are you meant to raise money?
We have got a business aspect, so he's trying to build a business acumen around us as well, but with some of the challenges, and you're going to be hearing more about that as he reveals more about the finals itself, which happens on the 8th of June, by the way.
So
it's around the corner.
This is a long process. It's taking up a lot of your time, right?
It does take a lot of time.
Is there a prize at the end of it?
There's going to be the crowning, and then there's the People's Choice Award, and there's the Heart Award as
well. No, but is there a prize? Because you're putting in a huge amount of time. And effort, and so are these other 20 guys supposedly, and probably all the others from the start. Like, do they give you a car? Like, Miss South Africa gets a car.
And gets an a car, apartment. An apartment,
yeah.
Yeah, money.
Yeah, so what
are... And dibs at all these old rich guys that want to marry her.
Yeah,
so that's a good point, yeah.
So I also need a blessing.
That's
the
real prize. So... No?
So there are sponsors. There are various sponsors that have come on board. A lot of it has been kept sort of hush-hush by JP himself because he wants to surprise us as well. Because if it becomes too normal...
You are going to all this trouble. What if you find out the
what
prize
if you
is
don't
like
the price?
A grocery voucher at fucking Pick and Pay or something.
Well, then I'll have groceries for a month at least.
Yeah.
But what if you don't like the prize? Hey, yeah. JP, this is a big risk you all are taking. So why are you doing it?
Well, Anish,
that's a good question.
For me, it's been a journey of self-discovery. So initially it wasn't, hey, let me just do this thing. Oh, let's miss the South Africa. Cause I've never thought, I mean, as I said, I'm not exactly 6'9". I'm well over 30 years old and here I am entering. And what I realized during the competition is that, and no offense to the other 19 guys, but there's a lot of aspects of this competition which are really me. Which are really me. For example, that 30-day challenge which I spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, what would happen? And it was a challenge. The CEO, which is JP, would send out a challenge, and we'd have to interpret it in our own way. And there were certain guys who struggled to interpret it, and there are certain guys who just got it immediately. Now, I was traveling to Dubai and Cape Town for a charity boxing match and some acting work. And even while I was traveling, I was able to do these challenges. So to be things like helping people get work or
getting an old lady across the street.
Now this, I was just going to use that example. Now what I've learned about myself big time is that my biggest mistake throughout my life and perhaps with social media and with the competition is I'm not that guy that takes an old lady across the street and goes, hey, look at me. I'm taking a old lady across the street.
Yeah.
And now you are.
And now I have to become that person, but as genuinely as possible. God.
What a horrible job.
So for someone who's really a real person, this is not an easy competition.
Okay.
You haven't
really told me, like, Pumi's question's the most valid. Like, I wouldn't put myself through this. And then, you end up Mr. South Africa, and then you get all this shit from people again. Like, all these pictures that were put out, and everybody, all they could do was be mean. You know, I suppose they all think, ordinary people, and I didn't climb on board, but we did on the show.
Mm.
We all think, oh, well, if I'm better than him, then I'm going to criticize him. Now, all that's going to happen for the winner is they're going to end up under a ton of criticism and shit. Is that worth it?
So to come back to your question, why did I enter myself?
Yeah.
It's because I would like to have a bigger platform to be able to do more humanitarian work, to be able to give back a lot more. I mean, I've always loved giving back from what I've learned through my entire life, whether it be from public sector, private sector, entertainment industry. But sometimes you don't have enough of a backing, of a support, of a platform to give back
to as many people. You reckon this is a powerful platform?
I think Cliff Central is very powerful.
Mr. South Africa.
I think it is a powerful platform.
All right.
They have got quite a few supporters. They've got a lot of sponsors, which are very, they're not aware. So the one mistake I think that has been made by the Mr. South Africa as a whole, as a company, is they haven't educated South Africa about Mr. South Africa enough until last week Thursday.
You know what? That's what I'll have to pinpoint as the major issue here. So the fact that they now want to say that it's about anyone can enter and you can do community service, that's all good and well. But the instant connotation is there's Miss South Africa. We see what happens there. Mm. They were at a point sponsored by, you know, the Razor people because you had to have long, sexy legs and right. you walk around there looking prim and
people
proper.
People understand that.
The instant connotation is that is what Mr. South Africa will be. And the downfall as well was the fact that that was what Mr. South Africa was.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's when the new CEO took over. That's the one who made the changes. That's why he was so vehemently behind this and you know, doing all of these nasty comments.
Can I just say that maybe he's wrong?
No, I like, don't. I don't think it's a case of right or wrong, but it's just how it was okay,
I don't wanna,
communicated.
I don't participate in the whole Mr. South Africa thing. Frankly, I don't know who the last 10 were. I don't know one of them. That's my fault because I'm probably not educated on mm-hmm. it. But is it a thing? This is my point. It's like if someone asked me to enter Mr. South Africa, and I know you're busy.
Yeah.
I know you, Sunil. You've got shit to do. You don't sit around all day twiddling your thumbs hoping to be entered into some competition.
Yeah.
And you were almost scouted by this guy, put into this competition. You're now spending a lot of time and effort doing it, and you're getting shit for it. It just seems to me like it's a pointless exercise. I don't mean to like smash the idea against the rocks, but if you asked me, I'd say, hell no.
Yeah. Well, when something becomes big and something becomes popular or spoken about, there's always going to be criticism. There's always going to be okay. criticism.
And I mean, last week's thing, maybe that got people talking
that's
about it.
Mm. Yeah. And if anything, a fantastic, fantastic PR opportunity.
Right. Never waste a good crisis.
There we go. So what sometimes bad news is good news or?
Yeah, but I don't think the social media people should have been responding like that.
No.
Like they were spitting back at people like, yeah, what are you trying to say?
Yep.
And then you see, and that's what.
Oh, right. What the Mr. South Africa people.
The Mr. South Africa official account. And that's why they really? End up having to delete the account and delete the photos.
Geez. And have you seen the person who's currently trending as the Mr. South Africa finalist?
Well,
his name is Pinky.
Yeah.
Pumi, tell us about this because Pumi mentioned this in passing.
I was going to ask you, yes. Sunil, because like you got a 3M from the CEO getting you on board. You know, you're loving every challenge. So, you know, you're feeling like a front runner, right? But Black Twitter has totally, Black Twitter has completely adopted this guy.
Yes.
And it turns out, I was reading about this the other day, that he's been a finalist like 3 years running.
Well, from what I understand, he's entered in 2017. I'm not sure about 3 years.
Yeah,
he's 44 years old.
It seems to be 3 years.
Sorry.
And so like everybody is now voting for this guy. But people have gone ape.
Oh boy.
About
they
voting
have.
For this guy.
They have. And you know what? I mean, from what I've seen and from the challenges and things, he's worked hard. He's done a lot of things behind the scene to get to that point. And I do wish.
So is he a threat to you, Sunil?
You know, he's not a threat, but I wish there was an Indian Twitter.
To get some support behind you.
Exactly. I must tell you that the one thing I found, and no offense to the, I mean, like, I identify myself as South African first, but I haven't found a lot of Indian people supporting the Indian guys.
There's
it's
a curry Twitter.
Weird.
There's a curry Twitter.
Is there a curry Twitter?
Twitter?
So curry Twitter, send me some ilachi, you know? Send me some of that karamong.
All right, well, listen, good luck. I mean,
Thank you.
You stick around with us for a little bit. We've got the news to get to and a whole bunch of other stuff. You hang out with us until 7. Do you want to hear some stories that are going on?
You've got to keep
us apart from
top
this.
Five.
Yeah, I know. So here are the five things you need to know this morning. Transnet has announced it will not be renewing the contract of the current CEO, Dau Morwe. Morwe took over after the former chief executive, Siyabonga Gama, was fired after the board's lack of trust and confidence in him was expressed. The company has not yet revealed the decision, the reasons for it. It merely says the stability of the organization is the board's key focus. So the CEO is now acting Mohammed Mohammadi. So you don't have to remember too much. It's just
really?
Mohammed Mohammadi.
Memo.
Yeah. So you can just remember one name.
Interesting.
So good you could say it twice. So his experience at Transnet spans more than 12 years. Transnet is obviously one of the state-owned entities that was looted during the state capture project, and people are still trying to figure out what was going on over there.
Hmm.
So this guy's been put in charge.
I'm just sipping my tea.
I see you sipping your tea. Do you know this guy?
No.
Do you know anything about him?
No.
Oh, okay.
Or do you know something that you don't want to say?
I'm just sipping my tea.
Okay, I'll take that as a yes.
Keeping it to herself. All right. EFF leader Julius Malema has warned ANC leaders and President Cyril Ramaphosa that they could face jail time if the party comes to power. This is Julius really ramping it up the week before the elections. He says, Cyril Ramaphosa in particular had not answered for the Marikana massacre, which claimed the lives of 34 miners. Let's not forget that, right? Julius also addressed a packed Sankopano Stadium in Alexandria to commemorate Workers' Day. The EFF leader said Ramaphosa belonged in prison, not in the union buildings. He added ANC heavyweights Batavile Dlamini, Paul Mashatile and Nomvula Mokonyane were all corrupt and needed to be punished for their various crimes.
I love the fact that Julius, in the middle of Alexander, says their favorite son, Paul Mashatile, must go to prison.
That's
just
brave,
like,
huh?
What is this guy on?
He promised EFF supporters that he would see to this if he became president after the elections in May.
Oh, yes.
Ramaphosa has taken a wrong turn. He's lost and in the wrong place. He's not supposed to be in the union buildings, but in Sun City Prison.
Oh.
That is where he belongs. The Red Berets leader said, under the EFF, corruption at the expense of black people would not be tolerated. So there we go. Some fighting words from Julius just ahead of the election.
You've got to love an election year, guys.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm tired of seeing these faces on the street polls, frankly. What do you think? Are you sick of them as well?
I think that the Mr. South Africa pictures were better than some of those street poll pictures.
Fighting back.
Spice.
All right, South African fans of Olympian Caster Semenya, yeah? Wednesday expressed shock and disappointment after their star athlete lost a bid to challenge the IAAF rules, forcing female athletes to regulate their testosterone levels. In a landmark ruling, the Court of Arbitration for Sport upheld the IAAF regulations, which require women like Semenya with higher than average natural female testosterone levels to take medically prescribed drugs to lower their testosterone levels or be kicked out of competitions.
Let's just not forget that it's actually not all women in all races. It's only the races that Caster is in. So it's only between the 400 meter and the 1500.
Which is strange, right?
So if you're going to make this ruling, let it be a general ruling. Mm-hmm. But only the races that she participates in, are the races that have to be limited.
It feels like it's discriminating.
Targeted.
But I've seen so many people in talking about sport. Like, sport is the final place where intersectionality gets tested, because you have men who are transgender, right? Who have transitioned from men to women, and they obviously still have some residual testosterone. And there's the male physique, which by that stage will have been, I suppose, what would you say? It's already present. And what happens is that these guys who've transitioned into women take on women in like wrestling and beat them to a pulp. And it's just completely unfair. So ultimately, it'll all be tested at that level. So Caster Semenya, this ruling making some people very upset. I mean, one of the people we shouldn't really be hearing from is Batabile Dlamini, but she is the Minister for Women. So for whatever that's worth, she says, we are bitterly disappointed. It actually removes Caster Semenya's agency as a person, as an athlete, as a person who trains hard, Dlamini said. As a department of women, we are particularly angered that we're expected to conform to Western notions. No, this is biology. It's not really about Western notions at all. She's got higher than normal testosterone. It does give her an advantage. If we're all going to compete on the same level, this is what the IAAF is there to do, if nothing else. But I do agree with Pumi. Why just go for these events?
So somebody tweeted yesterday amidst all of it, the current women's 800 meter world record holder, and her name is Jamila Krato, whatever.
Kratnachova.
Yeah. Oh, that just rolls off the
Lova,
tongue.
Something yeah. Lova, right? Mm-hmm. And then posted pictures of the young lady.
Yes. Yes, who's really not...
Lady has more muscle.
And she's not been asked to...
She was in the East German team in the late 80s, I think.
Mm.
And, well, this is... I mean, we've brought her up before on this show. So that must be then made retrospective as well.
Mm.
And I think it's only fair that if we don't know what someone's biological condition... we don't know what someone's biological conditioning is, then... how can we allow them to compete with people in the same event? I mean, the whole reason you have different age events and the whole reason that you have different gender events is so that women aren't competing with men and men aren't competing with women, because otherwise men will win everything and women will win nothing. And that's not going to be good for women's sport. It'll completely destroy it. So if we're all going to compete, let's just remember that there are differences. If we accept that there are differences, we need to be able to implement some rules to make sure that people aren't competing with people who have an unfair, the word is unfair, advantage.
Right. So do you think Paula Radcliffe had a little party to celebrate yesterday?
I don't know. I don't follow her. I'm not that interested. But I do think, like, for Costa Semenya does work hard. She is a very talented athlete. She'll continue to do well. And I don't think that this is going to necessarily cause her to be disenfranchised or that she's suddenly going to lose. If she has to get her hormone levels in some sort of range, she'll do it and then she'll still win.
Yeah.
And if she's a winner, she'll prove that to everybody.
Now, she's a very dedicated sports person, that's for sure. I mean, you can see the way it doesn't stop her. In a weird way. It doesn't stop.
No, she'll come back and win. Absolutely. I'm telling you. Yeah. So, not great. Mozambique, you know, they've been hit by, in the last little while, Cyclone Idai, and now they've got this Cyclone Kenneth that's hitting as well. From the air, Ibo Island, just off Mozambique's northeast coast, was speckled with flattened homes and waterlogged farmland. Apparently, the popular tourist destination had gone without large-scale food aid since the cyclone struck 6 days ago, and the human cost of the disaster is only being revealed now. On the day, it was a terrible thing to live with because it was so strong, said 50-year-old islander Armando Watela, as he cleared up the few of his belongings that he could and the damage. The storm tore off his roof, punched a door-sized hole in his front wall. We couldn't have imagined it would be so strong. He said, my pregnant daughter was in a room when the wall started to fall in, so we took the whole family to the fort. His daughter gave birth 2 days after the cyclone struck and is recovering in a clinic on the island. But 7,000 people were trapped in an increasingly desperate situation until World Food Program helicopters reached the island on Wednesday. Can you imagine? Sure. So that's the latest from Mozambique. And one other thing you need to know this morning is that Julian Assange is still in prison, and it looks like he is going to be sentenced to 50 weeks in jail for breaching a British court order 7 years ago, when he took refuge in Ecuador's London embassy to avoid extradition to Sweden. The Australian whistleblower, who was arrested on April the 11th after Ecuador gave him up, will serve the nearly one-year sentence while fighting a desperate attempt to transfer him to the United States.
Dude, 20 years from now, we're all going to be watching that Netflix documentary going...
You reckon?
Oh, we'll be listening to the podcast, watching that documentary. We will all be shocked and appalled at all that has happened with Julian Assange.
The 47-year-old, his shaggy beard neatly trimmed, raised his fist to supporters in the public gallery as he was taken down to the cells. They responded by raising theirs and shouting, shame on you, to the court. Assange fled to the Ecuadorian embassy after a British judge ordered his extradition to face Swedish allegations of sexual assault and rape, which he has strongly denied. And remember, he's the guy who revealed the names and the plans of the American military involved in various conflicts and put them in direct danger with his leaks. Classified information was stolen by Edward Snowden. Was it Edward Snowden?
Mm.
Or was it that, because there's also this Bradley Manning.
Mm-hmm. It was Snowden. I think it was Snowden.
It was one of the two. And they stole a whole bunch of information off of the U.S. Department of Defense's internal communications channels, and Julian Assange went and published it. So I don't know what the story is here, but I do know that when they took him out of the Ecuadorian embassy, he had smeared feces on the walls.
Yeah,
that behaved like a complete lunatic.
I'm telling you, that Netflix documentary, it's going to have so many twists and turns. It's going to be four parts of two hours.
I think you're right. Yeah.
We're all going to be – it's going to
– blow your mind.
All of us.
All right, so those are the five things that you need to know today. Are there any other things that you're thinking about that are in the news that you want to bring up while we're talking about these things, Sia? In your mind, we've got the burning platform after seven, by the way.
But Sia's also going to have like a good news story for us just
now. Oh, yes, I do.
The new cycle right now, I think it has me dizzy. Because there are so many things going on, from Venezuela to Mozambique.
Oh my God, Venezuela. Yeah. Good point.
All of it is just, it's mind blowing. And because everybody has a camera,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the term eyewitness news has become such a...
Definitely.
It, because everybody has a camera. It's like mind-blowing for me. What can you imagine what the editors of all these newsrooms... Also, because today is the first day that newsroom... Africa
Newsroom
goes,
Africa, yeah, the
goes
new
live,
channel.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys, the news cycle. Like they it's not for the faint-hearted.
Just last night, I got a video from somebody who was part of the people who were being attacked at, in Chatsworth in KZN. There's a lot of land grabbing and things happening, and are literally...
Is this after the floods, or is this just an ongoing thing?
This is an ongoing thing, and one of the gentlemen that were there, that were part of the group of people, sent me this video of what is happening, and he said, can you do something? Can you help out? I'm not even from Chatsworth. I'm not even from KZN, although people think I am because I'm Indian. But it's one of those things where I just wish I could do more. I'm right here at on home soil, 6 hours away from this actual... studio. There are people who are being attacked and shot at, and there was one of the municipal policemen said that, can the protesters not protest during the day, rather we can't come out at night to help you.
Oh I've
got the video, the actual voice clip of that.
You're joking?
No jokes.
This is madness.
And there are actual people, families.
I didn't know
that are
about
being,
this until you told us.
This was last night. So he sent me the voice clip of this municipal officer saying they must protest during the day because we can't assign people at night to these locations.
Hot spots.
Right here and on home soil.
Well, there is something you can do, and maybe Sunil, you can get involved in this too. But of course, Slipper Day is next week, Friday. That's Reach for a Dream's special day, and we'll tell you what you can do to get involved. They're, of course, a charity that make dreams come true for the brave little boys and girls with life-threatening illnesses. They need your support, and you can help them on Slipper Day 2019. You can make a contribution for just 10 rand, either at slipperday.co.za, which is the easiest way to do it. You don't have to leave your house. You could buy a wristband at Wimpy, Dischem, or at Pick n Pay. Then all you need to do is get your friends and family involved and wear your slippers to work, school, or wherever. On Friday next week, the 10th of May. Not all heroes wear capes, so no matter what you do, don't forget Slipper Day, 10th of May. Reach for a dream, inspiring hope.
Oh, reach for a dream. So if only cool. That Slipper Day was after Mother's Day.
Why?
Because that's when people buy their mothers for
new slippers.
Mothers,
man.
Slippers and gowns. Just putting it out there. Putting it out there.
To
I do
your
not
son
want,
who may or may not be listening right now.
I do
now.
Not mm-hmm. want slippers, and I do not want a gown for Mother's Day. Thank you.
Okay, but
that's
are you going to be wearing your slippers on?
Do not
on
buy your mother a slippers or gown.
Are you,
buy
are you,
her something useful.
Are you wearing slippers on Slipper Day?
Maybe.
Okay, good.
Oh, what do you usually get for Mother's Day?
Dude, I actually don't know. I usually get... Okay, so I usually get a plastic rose.
Oh, sorry.
A hand-drawn card.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay.
Which always has some funny theme, you mm-hmm. know, like last year it was something about tea, something about great. And it was like a teapot shaped thing with the little tea, because it's always crafty stuff that you get, right? Mm-hmm. Or honey or bee or stuff like that. And so I think I've got like five now, because it comes with the school territory. But I will tell you that I absolutely remember when Kanego was 8 years old, was the first year that he was properly aware, Mother's Day and whatever. And I actually, he woke up in the morning and he was like, Happy Mother's Day, Mommy!
Oh.
And gave me a hug. And that was, I had a moment of, wow, this is a whole person growing here.
When is Mother's Day? Because I better make a note.
And do not buy your mother slippers. It's
on the
12th.
Sure. It's
on
12th.
Okay, so it's just after Slipper Day.
It's
all
just
right, remember now.
That weekend.
All right, very good.
I need to get my Joyce Meyer book in check. That's why.
You need to get your mother some Jo Malone.
No, that's just my mother's favorite author.
Joyce Meyer book.
I'm sure in the past 12 months, there's a new release. I get that. Some ribbon. Bob's your uncle.
Get your mom some Jo Malone. Don't be cheap.
All right. Time for a little Said by Sia. Some positive stuff for you this morning.
Uh-huh. This is quite a game changer, folks. This is quite interesting to chat about this morning. New York City has recently passed quite a new piece of legislation that can truly be described as trailblazing. It's set to propel the Big Apple towards the forefront of America's fight against climate change. They've signed a new act. It's called the Climate Mobilization Act, and it was passed just a couple of days ago, in April, and it contains six climate measures intended to help the city reach carbon neutrality and 100% clean energy by the year 2050. And so one of these and most notable provisions in the bill requires, listen to this, all new residential and commercial buildings built in New York City to be completely covered in plants or renewable energy sources on their rooftops, such as solar panels. Okay. Isn't this a game changer?
All right.
So we know this, since plants absorb light that would otherwise become heat, this is now going to push for greener rooftops in order to reduce the urban heat island effect. And so by mitigating this heat gain, there's a reduction in energy costs for cooling systems inside buildings. And so the bill also outlines the establishment of a new renewable energy loan program to assist with greening buildings and details new changes to the city's building codes in order to promote construction of wind turbines. I think this is awesome. A New York City council member who sponsored the bill said, "Today we are passing a bill that won't just make our skyline prettier, it will also improve the quality of life for New Yorkers for generations to come."
Sounds good.
It's quite a game changer. So they're hoping that this will inspire other American municipalities to take similar action against climate change. But I just think this is a win-win for all involved. And that's a bit of good news for the world.
That is good news. That is good news, yeah.
That's your set by Sia for this morning.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You can go and vote for Sunil Osman as Mr. South Africa if you want to. Thanks for hanging around with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
He's the managing director of his own company, which is established. He's started working in real estate recently too. And is originally from Cape Town. He's also traveled the world as an international auctioneer. And he's one of those mugshots, but you can find better pictures of him online.
Yes, please. There are better pictures.
International auctioneer. Yeah. So this is your moment to impress us all, Sunil, right, and turn the tide against Pinky Naiza. Ne?
Okay.
Pinky Naiza.
I need curry Twitter.
No. This is you've got 30 seconds to quickly auction yourself off to our listeners.
And give us the details. And give us the details of how we vote for you.
All right.
And
so,
go.
Right. So you can vote for Sunil Osman by sending an SMS. It is MRSA41, all one word, to 40439. SMS starts at 2 Rand each. You can also purchase him for the next hour, I think.
Yeah.
Betting, we'll start the betting at just...
Yeah, I want to hear the...
All right, okay. We'll start the betting for him now at 100. We'll say 100, looking for 100. Let's stop right there, because how can you say I'm only worth 100?
Okay, never mind.
Okay, let's increment that.
All right. No, don't worry, Sunil. All right, you can send the code MrSA41 to SMS 40439 in South Africa. Internationally, the SMS can be sent to +27404392 Rand an SMS, VAS rates apply. That's all you need to know. And that's Sunil. Good luck, dude.
Thank you very much. And a very, very big happy 5 years, guys.
Oh, yeah. 5 years.
I'm so impressed. 5 years in one day.
5 years in one day.
Internationally, when I was in Miami, I met with one of the online radio presenters there, and they know about Cliff Central.
Woo-hoo!
It is really good.
Good stuff. Woo-hoo! All right. Thank you, man.
Happy.
Very nice. All right. So we've got lots of other good stuff coming in the next hour. We've got the Burning Platform, which I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy today, because we have none other than John Flismus. Is he coming in?
No, Davi.
Davi Schloss.
Sorry. I'm looking at next week. All right, so here it is. It's Davi Schultz, who is News 24's elections analyst. This guy is awesome. I've been following him on Twitter for a long time. He's the guy who breaks it all down. He's the guy who figures out what municipality is going to swing to who. And
I love that.
He's an elections nerd.
If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't know that old ATM is actually making inroads and winning council seats.
Exactly.
Like what?
Exactly. So we'll find out more from Davi Schultz in the next little while. That's coming up. Burning Platform, cliffcentral.com, next.
This is cliffcentral.com.